A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet, Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, titles appear over a rocky plain. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Son of Lassie, copyright 1945. Starring Peter Lawford as Joe Karaklov and Donald Crisp as Sam Karaklov. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Justin Soule and Dutch Priest, read by Miles Neff. For more about DVS, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at dvs.wgbh.org. Produced by Samuel Marks. Story and screenplay by Gene Bartlett. Based on some characters from the book Lassie Come Home by Eric Knight. Photographed in Technicolor. Director of Photography Charles Schoenbaum, ASC. Musical score by Herbert Stothert. Music for the Norwegian scenes based on the melodies by Edvard Grieg. Art direction by Cedric Gibbons and Hubert B. Hobson. Special effects by A. Arnold Gillespie, Warren Newcomb, and Danny Hall. Costume supervision by Irene. Morecast. June Lockhart as Priscilla. Nigel Bruce as the Duke of Rudling. William Billy Severn as Henrik. Leon Ames as Anton. Donald Curtis as Sergeant Eddie Brown. Niels Astler as Olaf. Robert Lewis as Sergeant Schmidt. Faye Helm as Joanna. Peter Helmers as Willie. Otto Ryko as Carl. Patricia Prest as Hedda. Helen Cothord as Thea. Leon Tyler as Arn. Lotta Palfi as Old Woman. Eile Malyon as Washwoman. And Lassie and Laddie. Directed by S. Sylvan Simon. Now, against a pale orange sky with pink fluffy clouds, a pack of collie dogs runs over a grassy hill past a pair of birch trees. Their fluffy coats in various shades of white, black, and tan bounce as they trot by. A lone collie slowly walks up the crest behind them and stops. Two men follow.
I like to see the morning run of my dogs, Karaklov. That's what I get up for.
It's a beautiful sight to start the day. All the years I've watched it, every morning is finer than the day before.
You're a great man with dogs, Karaklov.
Thank you, Your Grace. And that I am.
The Duke looks down.
Good morning, Lassie. You're still the finest of them all.
She's champion. Finest dog in all of Yorkshire.
Yes, when you've got champion dogs in the country, you've got champion men.
Lassie and the two men halt at the top of a stone staircase. The mustache Duke trades glances with Sam.
I think, sir, tis Lassie's tyke himself.
The Duke grins.
Where is he, girl?
Sam and his employer follow Lassie down the steps. The Duke uses a cane.
There are only two things in the world I'm proud of, Karaklov. My putters and my flowers.
It's either puppies or flowers a man must be proud of. I don't think it can be both.
Sam points to a flower bed around a fountain where a collie puppy tugs at blossoms.
My hydrangeas!
That's what I meant, sir.
Nearby, a young man in a blue uniform watches from between two trees. He heads over.
Of all the daft, stupid, crazy puppies in the world...
He's not stupid, sir. He's only very young.
Well, never too early to start his training. A firm hand, Joe. Built him one.
Oh, but I can't say this is such a foolish little thing. Don't you agree with me, Father?
I agree with you.
You're quite wrong, Priscilla. I warn you, that pup will grow up an irresponsible hoodlum. Look what he's done to my gardens.
Well, perhaps he just doesn't like gardens, Grandfather.
Nonsense. Everybody likes gardens.
Happen it's a point of view. Your Grace likes them to look at, and the Tyke likes them just as much to roll in.
I say that something must be done about that pup. At last we've got a dog like our Lassie. I want him trained, and when he's old enough, I'll show him. I'll make him an international champion.
That's a great deal of eye, Grandfather, for another man's dog.
All the same, it's the only way. If you don't train him, it'll be a scandal to every dog lover in Yorkshire.
But he's only a puppy, sir.
Aye, and if there's a scandal to bear, there's no one to bear it but Joe, for there's nobody's dog but his. That's the way it was with you, Lassie, and that's the way it's got to be with your Tyke.
Oh, there's only one way you'll ever get that dog, Grandfather.
Oh, and how's that?
You'll have to marry into the family.
Joe bows his head bashfully at Priscilla's smile. The puppy climbs back into the flower bed.
Oh,
wait, Joe.
She follows Joe to the puppy.
Laddie, flowers are not to eat.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Joe runs off through the flowers.
Goodbye.
Here! Hey! Look out for my hydrangeas! Joe's scoundrel does more damage to them than the pup. No sense. Like all the lads these days, no sense at all. I'm surprised at you, Carrickcliffe. You should have been firmer with the lad.
Hey, Your Grace, happen I should. But the last day of his leave is pretty late to start. He leaves in the morning for an advanced flying school.
Oh, does he? Good for him.
The Duke turns to his granddaughter.
Huh? Look alive now, girl, look alive.
I never was so much alive, Grandfather.
Huh?
Now Laddie lies on a multicolored bedsheet, his heavy eyelids slowly closing. Laddie's eyes open and his ears perk up. Laddie sits up and looks around. At the other end of the bed, Joe's face lies half buried in a pillow. Still asleep, Joe licks his lips, then raises his arm and grabs the top of his pillow. Laddie walks close to Joe's head and sits. Laddie runs his front paws over Joe's shoulder. As Joe rolls over, the puppy licks his face.
Can't sleep, so I can't either. What happens to you happens to me.
They both yawn. Joe pets Laddie's head.
What's that, another scratch? When are you going to learn that there are no friendly cats? You know that you've got to start looking out for yourself when I'm away. Lose your appetite for other people's shoes. They don't digest very well anyway.
Lassie enters.
And be reserved when people come to call. A friendly pet doesn't mean they want to wrestle with you. I bear that in mind when I'm away.
Lassie nuzzles his arm.
Good morning, Lassie. Look who's here.
Laddie rubs his nose against his mother's snout. Joe pats him.
Come on, sit up.
He sets Laddie down.
Now you stay down there. I gotta get dressed.
As Joe gets up, Laddie stands watching with his front paws on the bed. Dressed in a pair of striped pajamas, Joe picks up a black sock and takes a seat in a chair. As he starts to pull the sock over his toes, Laddie scampers over to him. The fuzzy pup bites onto the end of the sock and tugs. Joe smiles as he struggles to pull the sock over his foot.
Stop it. Now you stop that. I gotta get dressed.
Later, Joe sits on his bed in his blue uniform. As he ties his shoes, Laddie lies behind him, tugging on the inside lining of his jacket pocket. Joe turns to the puppy.
Laddie, stop it.
Laddie looks away from him. As Joe turns back to his shoes, Laddie nips at the pocket lining again. Meanwhile, Lassie goes to a bench and picks up a folded military cap in her mouth. She brings it to Joe.
Thank you, Lassie. That's a good girl.
Joe looks at Laddie.
Now, why can't you do something like that? You never learn anything.
As Laddie cocks his head at him, Joe unfolds his cap and sets it on the puppy's head.
You look better in it than I do, I must say. Come on.
He puts Laddie on the floor, then pets Lassie.
You know something? He got your good looks, but he didn't get your brains.
On the floor, Laddie nudges a football with his snout. As it rolls out into the hallway, Laddie follows and steps around it. The pup tugs at the ball's lacing with his teeth. In the bedroom, Joe ruffles Lassie's fur.
Laddie, what are you doing with my football?
In the hallway, the ball rolls out from under the puppy's grip and bounces down a staircase. Laddie chases after it. Downstairs, a white-haired woman sets a wash tub on a stand. As Laddie runs past, the woman falls down, pulling the water-filled tub with her. Joe appears at the top of the stairs.
What happened? What happened? It's that wild beast of yours. My washing!
As Joe helps her up, Laddie's paw sends the football spinning.
After him, Joe. He'll have the house about our eggs.
Joe dives after Laddie and crashes into some stacked copper pots. As the puppy runs outside, the other two quickly follow. Swinging a broom at Laddie, the washwoman whacks a post and a clothesline drops on her.
You hurt?
Look at him.
Laddie plays tug of war with the clothesline.
Let go! Let go!
Laddie yanks on a pair of long johns, clothes pinned to the line.
You tiger!
As the pins come loose, the washwoman flops back.
Your father's drawers! Stop it! Stop it!
Laddie runs off with the long johns and Joe follows. As he catches up, the puppy darts through a low gap in some hedges. On the other side, Priscilla carries a cake down a grassy path. She stops and pulls at the free end of the Long Johns. Joe turns the corner and plows into Priscilla. The cake goes flying and Priscilla falls back into Joe's lap.
Oh, my present.
Laddie munches on the toppled cake. Joe grins.
What is it?
Well, it was a cake. My first.
You baked it?
With my own bare hands. Look at them.
Two fingers are bandaged.
Still, it was worth it. I've been trying to get into this position for months.
Joe bashfully gets to his feet.
Sorry.
Oh, Joe, what am I going to do about you?
Joe grins.
I'm sorry. Laddie ran off with my father's drawers and I tried to stop him.
Are you going to talk about your father's drawers or me?
She holds out the Long Johns. Joe takes her hand.
You do like me, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then why don't you say it?
Well, a man doesn't have to say everything he feels, does he?
Yes, in wartime and when he's going away.
But I'm only off to school and besides...
Besides what?
Well, it wouldn't be proper, and proper is proper, you know, as my father says. Ask your grandfather.
Grandfather's 60, and he's not going to risk his life. You're 17, and you are going to risk yours. So it's your right to decide.
He pets Laddie.
Will you leave that dog alone? Laddie, lie down.
Laddie bites her skirt and pulls it down.
Well!
Laddie cocks his head and perks up his ears. Joe gapes.
Oh!
I suppose he's trained to do that?
No, Priscilla stands in her slip.
You see, it's quite clever, really, but it's my fault because one day he was chewing at the bottom of my trousers and I told him to L-I-E-D-O-W-N.
L-I-A-R.
Please, Priscilla, pull it up.
Priscilla's grandfather spots her.
Priscilla!
Priscilla and Joe turn around.
For pity's sake, bloomers start rumors.
I was just showing Joe what fine straight legs his children are going to have.
Hang the little legs. Pull this cat up and quick about it.
A draft green convertible pulls into the driveway behind the gardens. Two military officers and a female driver sit inside.
Hello? A military car. At last, I'm called up. Must have been that last letter I wrote to the Prime Minister.
He approaches the officers.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm the Duke of Rutland.
Major Elsa, sir. This is Captain Graves.
How do you do? This is a very happy day, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Among your many letters, we find an offer to mobilize Rutling Kennels into a war dog's training school.
It isn't exactly combat duty. However, an old soldier accepts any command.
It'll be the duty of Rutling Kennels, sir, to select dogs from this section and pass on their fitness for enlistment. I should like to see your kennel man, Sam Karaklov.
This is Sam Karaklov.
Sam arrives.
Morning, gentlemen.
Mr. Karaklov, you're to be in command here.
What?
You have the reputation of being the finest dog man in Yorkshire.
Well, gentlemen, I've no wish to take credit for something I was born with.
The scoundrel.
Congratulations, Father.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Mr. Karaklov.
Well, thank you, miss.
Joe runs off.
Now, Mr. Karaklov.
Joe!
Priscilla follows him.
Joe!
She catches up.
Aren't you going to say goodbye?
Joe looks down at the Long Johns in his hands.
You know your grandfather would never approve of... us.
And you know how I manage him. But what does it matter if you don't love me?
Who said I didn't love you?
Then say it, Joe.
He grins.
Go on, say it.
Joe turns and runs off.
Please say it, Joe.
He stops and turns to her.
I do love you.
I'll be waiting.
Smiling, Joe runs to his house. Now back in the driveway.
Professor.
As the officers ride off in their car, Sam and the Duke of Rutling approach each other.
Well, Karaklov, it seems from now on you'll be giving the orders here.
It does seem that way, Your Grace.
Well, there's one thing I absolutely insist upon.
What's that, sir?
I'm to be your second in command.
Ah, that'll be fine.
I shouldn't dare show my face in the village otherwise. Oh, Karaklov, you must feel free to convert the estate as you think fit.
Well, thank you, sir. We'll try not to disturb the hydrangea.
I think not. They're the best hydrangea.
A section of the flower bed is dug up.
Look! Great Scott, look what your confounded puppies done to my hydrangea.
Sam shakes his head. Now, on a rocky plain, Laddie runs alongside his mother with a pink flower in his mouth. Now, a full-grown Laddie runs alongside his mother with another pink flower in his mouth.
Here, Laddie. Come on, Laddie. Come on.
Laddie jumps up on a crumbled stone wall and offers the flower to Joe.
Laddie, you get bigger, but you never grow up. Does he, Lassie?
Lassie sits beside them. Joe tosses away the flower, picks up a stick, and throws it. As Laddie bounds after it, Joe crouches down to Lassie.
Lassie, are you glad we're both grown up? There's one thing I know you don't like about it. It means you're getting old. The things I used to do with you, I do with him now. But thanks for giving him to me anyway.
He kisses Lassie's head. Behind them, Laddie jumps onto the wall with a shoe in his mouth.
While you were about it, why don't you give him some brains? Perhaps you did it that. A shoe is more useful than a stick. Come on, Tyson.
Now a sign on a large cage reads, Rudlin Kennels, recruiting school for war dogs. Joe walks past with Lassie and Laddie.
This is only for Laddie. Run on home, old dog.
As Joe points behind them, Lassie leaves.
Up, go, eight, four.
Joe and Laddie step to a short hedgerow. On the other side, soldiers march around in a square with leash dogs at their sides.
All right, Smith, get going. Get him in line. Quiet.
Several breeds march along, including collies, a German shepherd, a Welsh terrier, and a German short-haired pointer.
Come on, Johnson, keep moving. Up, go, eight, four.
Laddie's head turns back and forth as he watches the procession. On the field, a row of black and white dogs passes. Across the lawn, a large dog bounds up a ramp. The Duke and Priscilla walk up to Sam with a pair of spaniels.
Two more recruits for us, sir.
Oh, you'll win the war single-handed, Grandfather.
We'll train them more dogs than they know what to do with, eh, Karaklov?
Corporal, take these dogs in. Yes, Your Grace, I have a recruit myself.
You have? And what dog's that?
Laddie, son of Lassie.
Laddie, that's fine, but I thought that boy yours didn't want him trained.
I talked it over with him last night, Your Grace. He's on his way to active duty. And now with Lassie too old and the kennels in the war, I think he sees our point.
Ah, good for him. You hear that, Priscilla? Young Karaklov's enrolling Laddie.
Yes, Grandfather, I know all about it.
Huh?
Joe and Laddie arrive.
Oh, my boy, you look better than usual.
Thank you, sir.
I'm particularly glad to have Laddie join up. Oh, here's his collar.
He hands Joe a dog collar.
Well, do you think he can do it, sir? The training, I mean.
Put it on him. Hard discipline teaches it to man and dog.
I don't think you could ever teach it to Laddie, sir.
Here now, Joe. You're off for active duty, so he'll have no more to do with the dog anyway. The training will be good for him. Come along, we'll take him to the field.
Sam leads Laddie away.
Yes, the army will make him a champion, Joe. Come along, Priscilla.
The Duke walks off with his granddaughter. As Joe follows, another dog runs up the ramp behind him.
Up!
Across the field, a German shepherd leaps over a hurdle.
We find it best to let the backward dog see the others leap the hurdle successfully. It makes them want to do as well.
Sam grips Laddie's collar. The collie stares at two German shepherds panting by the hurdle. Joe turns to his father.
Do you think so, son?
Well, we'll show you. Come on. Over.
The German shepherds leap two hurdles, then bound over a 7-foot wall.
Attaboy.
Good fellow.
Sam smiles at his son.
There you are. Now then, Laddie, are you ready? Huh? Come on up.
Sam leads the collie out in front of the first hurdle.
Now then, come on, over you go.
Laddie runs to the fence-like hurdle and climbs through its lowest beams. Shaking his head, Sam looks on with Joe and Priscilla. A soldier takes Laddie by the collar.
He's not very bright.
No, he isn't.
Well, at least he's resourceful. Come along, bring him out here.
The others follow Sam across the field, where a soldier in a padded suit fires a gun at a German shepherd. The dog charges and bites the man's arm. Another soldier runs over, leashes the dog, and leads it away.
Now this is a test of courage and a fighting heart. Like every good soldier, a dog must be steady under fire. We can train the dogs in other things, but any dog that breaks under gunfire is unfit for military purposes. Now watch this. All right, let him go.
Okay.
As the padded soldier fires again, another German shepherd charges. The large dog knocks him to the ground and bites onto his gun-wielding arm. Again, a soldier runs out and leashes the dog.
Come on, Laddie. Go!
Laddie races toward the armed soldier. The collie sees the smoke bursting violently from the muzzle with each gunshot. Laddie lowers his head and runs back to Joe.
A perfect dog on points who's a perfect fool.
No matter what anyone says, Laddie, you're still the finest champion ever.
As Joe nuzzles Laddie, Priscilla approaches her grandfather.
May I take Joe away now?
Oh, run along, Priscilla.
With Joe? That's what I came for. Here, Joe, here's our picnic.
I'd like to have a word with you, miss.
Oh, Grandfather.
She turns to the Karakluffs with a furrowed brow. As Joe and his father lead Laddie away, the Duke points at them.
It's pointless of you to worry the lad.
He's not the lad. He's Sergeant Joe Karakluff, and I intend to worry him as much as ever I can.
Priscilla, you're distinctly offside.
I'm on Joe's side, Grandfather.
You're not free to be.
You're very old, Grandfather, and you think very old things.
You're very young, my dear, and you think very young things.
He kisses her cheek.
Run along, run along. If you don't run, you won't catch him.
As she runs off, a faint smile crosses the Duke's lips. Now Sam follows Lassie and Laddie across the rocky plains. On a hilltop, Priscilla, wearing a green dress, runs past a twisted dead tree and stops to survey the area. Sam hikes up to her with the two collies.
Good morning, Mr. Karakluff.
Good morning, miss.
As the wind blows through her curly hair, Priscilla tugs on her thumb.
I was just taking a little walk.
Sam gives her a crooked grin.
The bus will be passing here soon.
Priscilla looks down and bashfully wrings her gloved hands. She and Sam step across the barren hilltop, then pause to look out over the plains. Lassie and Laddie stand to either side of Sam. In the distance, a bus drives across a desolate road. As Sam and Priscilla wave from the hilltop, Joe waves back through one of the bus's open windows. Laddie looks up at Sam. The young collie runs down the hill.
Laddie, come back here!
On the plains, Laddie tears across a stone-bordered trail toward the passing bus.
Do you think he'll come back when he gets hungry?
I doubt it, miss. That's where his heart is.
Sam points to the bus.
Yes. And mine.
Laddie reaches the road and follows the bus's path. Now at a base, a soldier salutes as a British Air Force flag is lowered. A fighter plane soars overhead. Inside the barracks, a pajama-clad Joe walks to a cot and takes a seat. Across from him, a dark-haired soldier grooms his uniform jacket with a lint brush.
For the first day, you didn't do badly. I guess you'll fly with me.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. I could have replaced you, but the boy I'd get would be just as bad. Say, you want to see a swell pinup?
He hands Joe a photo of a bulldog with a pipe in its mouth.
That's Boots. It's the sharpest dog in all of Canada. He can do everything. He really smokes that pipe.
I don't think I'd want my dog to smoke.
What is your dog?
I have two collies, Lassie and Laddie.
What tricks can they do?
Well, Lassie does some, but Laddie doesn't do any.
No good, huh?
He's a champion.
You mean he's a fighter?
No, not a fighter. They're both champions. You see, when the Duke of Rutland owned Lassie, she walked all the way from Scotland to England to come home to me. That's a champion.
That stops me.
The lights flash off and on.
Well, good night, Eddie.
Good night. You know, if I'd known you were any part of a Duke, I'd never have picked you.
Oh, I'm not. We're cottagers. It's only the dogs that are champion.
As the lights go out, Joe and Eddie climb under the sheets of their adjacent cots.
You know, Joe, you're not a bad little kid. Not very sharp, but not a bad little kid.
Grinning, Joe rests his head on his pillow. Across the room, a door creeps open, spilling in light from the hallway. Laddie enters. He sniffs his way down a line of soldiers' cots and arrives at Joe's. The collie jumps on top of the sheets and sticks his nose in Joe's face.
Laddie, what are you doing here?
As Laddie licks Joe's cheek, Eddie watches from his own cot, smiling. He glances back at the door.
Shh, quiet. Hide him under the covers.
Joe tucks Laddie under the sheets with him as two warrant officers appear in the doorway. One turns on a flashlight.
Try not to disturb the men.
The officer with the flashlight nods. Both men walk down the row of cots, inspecting each one. As the flashlight beam moves over Joe's cot, a lump under the covers wags back and forth. The warrant officers glance at each other. Moving to the head of the cot, the taller officer pulls back the sheets and discovers Laddie's head resting next to Joe's. Laddie and his owner both turn and stare into the flashlight beam. Joe sits up, holding his hand around Laddie's neck.
He's my dog, so I don't know how he got here.
I don't need to remind you that the possession of a dog is an infraction of the King's regulations. He has no right here. He's creating confusion. He's beautiful, isn't he?
Please, sir, may I have permission to take him home? He's awfully tired. It's almost 40 miles from here.
40 miles? Smart dog.
That's what's so wonderful about him. He's never done anything quite so wonderful in his life before.
And he had better never do it again.
The officer feels Laddie's collar.
What's this?
Oh, that's... He was sort of enlisted, but I don't think it ever quite took.
Oh, right in here, sir. Another boy?
Hey, that's...
Sam enters with a leash.
Father, what are you doing here?
I came for the tyke. 4 hours on a blinking bus. Well, you'll run away no more, my fine lad. Come on. Goodbye, Joe.
Goodbye. Father? Father, this is Eddie, the chap I was telling you about.
How are you?
Oh, this is the warrant officer.
Well, goodbye, Joe.
Oh, Father.
Joe climbs out of bed.
Wasn't it clever of him to find me? I never thought he could do it.
Eh? Happen he's Lass's pup after all.
Laddie looks up at Joe.
Well, I must run along.
Goodbye, Father.
Sam leaves with Laddie.
Goodbye, Laddie.
Daytime. A plane single propeller whirs to life, and the aircraft rolls along a rural airfield. A bullseye insignia is painted on its side in blue, white, and red. The taxiing plane passes by Eddie, who walks along the side of the tarmac past a row of parked fighter planes. Behind them, two more planes take off. Eddie approaches a pilot standing inside a cockpit. Joe climbs onto the wing beside him.
Oh, Eric?
Yes?
I'm a fool to lend Joe to you. Last week, I lent you my razor, and I didn't get it back.
Anything good, I don't get back.
Goodbye, Eddie. See you in a couple of hours. Go on, kid.
Joe climbs inside the cockpit next to Eric. Eddie waves, then walks off past one of the plane's two rotating propellers. In the distance, Laddie runs across the tarmac. The collie dashes over to Joe's plane and jumps onto the wing. Joe stands up in the open cockpit and reaches for Laddie with a dumbfounded gaze. As Joe climbs out onto the wing, Eddie spots them and runs back to the plane. Joe walks Laddie to the wing's edge, where Eddie picks him up.
Take care of him until I get back.
As Eddie runs off with Laddie in his arms, Joe climbs back into the cockpit and slides the canopy shut. The plane taxis out alongside Eddie and Laddie, spitting out a plume of exhaust. It turns onto the runway and joins a line of three other taxiing fighter planes. Eddie runs to the edge of the tarmac and sets Laddie down. Behind them, a group of soldiers push a grounded plane off the runway. Laddie runs off.
Laddie, come here.
The collie tears across a gravelly median toward the departing planes.
Laddie!
Eddie races after him. Behind him, an officer carrying some coiled rope notices them and joins the chase. Wind billows through Laddie's thick coat as he charges onto the asphalt alongside the planes. Joe's plane follows directly behind him as he runs to the center of the tarmac. The plane moves closer and closer, then lifts off, passing right over Laddie. From the cockpit, Joe turns to his dog and waves him away while mouthing the words, "Go back." On the ground, Eddie and the other officer follow behind Laddie as the dog continues after the now airborne plane. In the cockpit, Joe shakes his head and glances at Eric. On the runway, Laddie stops and watches the plane soar away. Eddie catches up to him and grabs his collar. He takes the rope from the other officer and makes a leash.
When Karaklov comes back, he can spend a month's pay shipping him home.
Come on, Eddie.
Eddie leads the collie off the tarmac. In the sky, the planes bank to the left.
Boy, you sure are stuck.
Eddie ties the other end of Laddie's rope leash to a tree beside the runway. He crouches down to the collie.
Guess you're in love, huh? Well, he'll be back in a couple of hours. Just watch for 4 planes coming home.
He pats Laddie, then walks away. As the planes fly off, Laddie sits down on his haunches and lowers his head to the ground. Later, the shadows of the tree's branches dance on Laddie's fur coat. The dog looks up and sees 3 fighter planes descending toward the runway. He jumps to his feet. As the ground crew looks up to the sky, Eddie runs onto the tarmac. The planes fly low over the runway. The last in line tips its wings to straighten out. A large group of grounded pilots turn their heads in unison as the arriving planes swoop by several feet above the tarmac. Still tied, Laddie runs in circles around the tree. On the tarmac, three uniformed women drive off in a Jeep. The landed planes taxi around a bend in the runway. With its propellers still spinning, the lead fighter plane slowly turns past the tethered collie. As the plane pulls to a stop outside a hangar, members of the ground crew jump aboard three tow tractors and drive off across the tarmac. Three other mechanics stay at a fourth tractor and watch them. All three planes now sit parked in front of the hangar. The pilots climb out of the cockpits as the sturdy tractors each pull up alongside a plane. As Eddie approaches, one of the pilots walks past him.
Patty.
Eddie beckons the boyish pilot closer.
What happened to Eric and Joe?
Last time we saw him was over the target. Started lagging behind him.
Oh.
Eddie looks over to Laddie. The collie stands still as the return pilots file past. Laddie follows the pilots as they walk to a staircase outside a barracks. Reaching the end of his rope leash, he watches them climb the stairs, then turns away. He steps back toward the tarmac and sits down on his haunches. His head droops to the ground. Nighttime. Laddie still lies motionless by the tree. On the adjacent runway, two sparse rows of lights glow along its borders. Eddie approaches, looking up at the sky. He bends and pets Laddie on his neck, then moves past him to a tow tractor, where two members of the ground crew sit waiting. Eddie retrieves a cigarette from his jacket pocket and places it in his mouth, then tilts his head to one of the men's lighters. Exhaling a puff of smoke, Eddie turns and looks back up to the sky. Elsewhere, three women stand on a staircase in front of a windowed control tower. An officer climbs past them to a landing.
Better list them as missing.
He and another officer head inside the control tower. Back by the tarmac, Laddie lifts his head from the ground and looks up into the sky. Eddie and the others look over. Eddie nudges the crew member next to him and points up at the sky. Several other pilots and mechanics look up too. As Laddie stands staring into the sky, the officers emerge from the control tower. Eddie smiles at the man next to him. Laddie's rope leash pulls taut repeatedly as the dog takes eager steps. The pilots and mechanics keep watching the runway. A plane emerges from the darkness and taxis to one side. Its left engine housing is streaked with scorch marks. As the plane comes to a stop, Eddie heads over to it. Laddie's tail wags briskly. Eddie passes under the plane's wing.
So you finally coughed your way home, eh?
Yes, Jerry gave us two. Had to bring a hull of one engine. But I brought your navigator back, so you can use him again tomorrow.
As Joe jumps down from the wing to the tarmac, Laddie watches from his tether. Joe grabs Eddie's arm.
What'd you do with Laddie?
I didn't do it. Come on, I'll show you.
He leads Joe to the collie.
Laddie, everything's gonna be all right.
You'll have to sleep out here with him, you know. You can't take him into the barracks.
Yeah, I suppose I'll have to.
Well, sleep well, kid. You and I are going on a reconnaissance job tomorrow.
I'll be ready.
Eddie starts to leave, then turns.
Oh, look, Joe. The sergeant major says Laddie's got to be shipped home. But I ran across Jerry Bartlett, you know, from our squadron. He's got some leave coming. He'll be going right near your home, so, you leave that to me, yeah?
Thanks, Eddie.
Look, boy, you don't have to put on an act for me. I've seen an air marshal bawl like a baby when he had to leave his dog.
Eddie pats him on the shoulder, then walks off. Joe slumps down beside Laddie.
You know something, Laddie? You've got to understand something before you go home this time.
As Joe removes his leather gloves, Laddie lies down. Joe lies on his belly beside him and cradles the collie's head in his arm.
One of the little things about war is you can't have your dog. You're a very little thing for me to give up when men are giving up their children. I suppose when I have a child, the feeling will be something like this. There probably won't be anything like it. Perhaps I'll never know about it. But anyway, I know about you. And I won't see you anymore.
Joe nuzzles his cheek against the top of Laddie's head. Now an officer runs a pointer across a map to three tiny yellow flags.
Photographs of this section of the coast of Norway show us the beginnings of some new kind of activity. However, all our pictures have been from 35,000 feet. Today, if possible, we should like to get some from a bit lower. Understand?
Yes, sir.
It's dangerous. There'll be flak, of course. But it's also important that we know exactly what Jerry's doing there. Any comments, Eddie?
No, sir.
That's rather unusual for you. Well, that's all. Cheerio.
Good show, sir.
Cheerio.
Joe and Eddie leave the briefing room. Later, under an overcast morning sky, Joe walks across the runway carrying a bulky reconnaissance camera. He clambers onto the wing of a waiting fighter plane and steps up to the cockpit. Eddie waits inside as Joe climbs in next to him and slides the window canopy shut. The plane turns around, propellers spinning, and taxis across the tarmac. Painted on its side is a blue, white, and red bullseye insignia, with stripes of the same colors nearby on its tail. A little later, the plane speeds down the runway and lifts up off the ground. Soaring into the sky, it quickly disappears into a thick white fog. Inside the plane, Joe sits with the camera in his lap and winds a crank on its side. The camera's thick lens resembles the muzzle of a cannon. In front of Eddie's control panel, Laddie sits beneath a metal shelf. As Joe looks out the window, Laddie walks over and stands with his front paws on the camera. Joe turns and gapes. Eddie looks over at him, grinning.
Laddie, what are you doing here?
Joe smiles as Laddie licks his face. He kisses the dog, then turns to Eddie. Pointing at Laddie, Joe mouths the word, "You?" Eddie nods happily. As Joe kisses Laddie again, Eddie gives him a thumbs up. Outside, the silhouetted plane soars through the clouds. Back in the cockpit, Eddie tilts his head toward a side window.
Laddie ever been in Norway?
No.
Yes, he has. For the last 3 minutes.
Joe looks out as the plane soars through the cloudy sky. Inside, Eddie looks out Joe's window.
We're getting close.
Joe takes the camera and walks in a crouch to the plane's front compartment. Laddie moves out of his way, then heads back under the shelf. Outside, numerous shells explode into bursts of black smoke.
"That'll be black," he said. He wasn't kidding.
Joe smiles as he aims the camera down. Outside, a line of exploding flak follows them. Eddie keeps flying calmly as the bursts of black smoke whiz by. Sitting beside Joe, Laddie peers through the front window. A shell explodes in front of them. In the cockpit, Eddie sits hunched over, clutching his chest. He leans on the control wheel, sending the smoking plane on a slight curve. As blood seeps out of his nose, Eddie grabs the wheel with both hands. Looking out the window, he sees that the right engine is on fire. Joe heads back to him.
Better hit the silk, Joe.
But what about you?
I'll be right after you. Go ahead.
Joe returns to the front compartment and rubs the back of Laddie's head before pulling open the escape hatch. Wind whips through the collie's fur as he looks down. In the cabin, Eddie glances at the flames that engulf the right engine, then reaches for the control panel.
Hurry up, we're losing altitude. Jump!
Joe picks up Laddie and holds him to his chest.
Hurry up! Right behind.
Joe glances back at him, then drops through the hatch. As he plummets into the sky, a parachute quickly opens above him. In the cockpit, Eddie's body slumps over. Back in the open air, Joe's parachute gently drifts through the sky. As he lands beside a lake, Laddie jumps from his arms. The windblown parachute drags Joe headfirst toward a large rock. Joe's head rams into the boulder, bringing him to a stop. He looks up weakly. His eyes close and his head drops heavily to the ground. Laddie approaches and scratches at his arm. He licks Joe's face. Laddie jumps onto the boulder beside Joe's limp body and surveys the area. He then jumps back down and dashes across the meadow. Later, he emerges from a pine forest and crosses a narrow wooden bridge over a river. Later still, Laddie bounds up a hill with the river visible in the distance. He turns toward a pyramid-roofed lookout station at the hill's crest. A red flag marked with a swastika flies nearby. Laddie runs upward through thick green shrubberies. Two sentries spot him.
Cal, look. I told you I saw something.
That's a dog, not a parachute.
The two Nazi soldiers watch as Laddie comes closer. Carl and his partner scrutinize the collie. Laddie takes several steps down the hill, then turns back to the soldiers. As the two Nazis approach, Laddie leads them down the hill. They follow the collie at a jog. In the distance, snow-capped mountain peaks lie on the misty horizon. Later, they reach the lakeside meadow. Laddie looks to the rifle-bearing soldiers, then turns and leads them onward. They approach the boulder. Joe is gone. Laddie sniffs around the large rock. As Laddie jumps on top of the rock, the two Nazis glance at each other. Agitated, the collie jumps on and off the boulder. Carl turns to his fellow soldier.
He's crazy. There's nothing here.
Maybe there is a name on his collar.
Carl grabs Laddie's collar and the dog leaps down. The tag reads, Rudling School for War Dogs, England.
Here's a tag.
Laddie pulls away from his grip and runs. The two Nazis quickly chase after him as he heads toward the lake. Stopping several yards behind, the shorter soldier aims his rifle. The Nazis run after him. Laddie rolls to his feet and limps away, holding one paw in the air. As the soldiers tear across the meadow, Laddie runs through a dense grove of white birch trees, then heads to the lakeshore. Behind him, the Nazis emerge from the grove of trees and find the shore empty. As they look around, Laddie waits in the shallows, hiding under a log.
He's gone. An English dog means an English soldier.
Maybe paratroopers are landing in this section.
You better get back and report this.
The soldiers walk off along the shore. Laddie watches them go, then backs out from underneath the log and trudges through the shallow edge of the water. Sun-sparkled waves gently lap against his body. Laddie climbs onto the grassy shore and sits down on his haunches, licking the bloody wound on his right paw. He gets back up, shakes off his clinging wet fur, and moves on. Later, Laddie limps past several pine trees along the shore, holding his bloody paw in the air. He stops in front of a toppled tree and takes a look around. As he lies between two of its branches, a little boy arrives from the other side of the hill with an armful of sticks. Laddie pops up to look at him, then ducks down. The little boy stares toward the toppled tree, his curly hair sticking out from under his wool cap. Laddie pokes his head back up, then ducks down again. The little boy drops his firewood and runs over.
A puppy!
He kneels next to Laddie.
I found a puppy! Come on, puppy, let's play!
As the boy hugs him, Laddie extends his paw and licks his wound. The boy gently crawls out from underneath Laddie's leg and runs off. The collie sets his paw on a knot in the tree and continues licking his wound. The boy tears down the hill.
Thea, I'll be right back, puppy.
Laddie's tail wags and his ears perk up as he watches the boy run away.
Thea! My puppy, please!
He joins two girls and a boy at a pushcart.
He always thinks about his dog, the one the Germans shot.
The other girl holds out a stuffed animal.
Here's your puppy. And not sick at all. He's just fine. See?
No, no, my new puppy, my brand new sick puppy.
This is your puppy. Look, by the time we get home, we'll be all better. Come on, up you go, Nellie.
As they start to wheel him forward on the cart, he jumps off and runs away.
There won't be a home. Henry, come back!
Leaving the cart behind, the others chase him.
Boy, you'll get a wonderful puppy. All for yourself someday. Henry, come back. Come back, Henry.
They follow him up the hill.
See? Here's my new puppy.
He reaches out and pets Laddie.
He's a friend. I told you. He's sick.
His leg is hurt. Hedda, tear a bandage from your apron.
I'll be spanked if I tear my apron.
Spanking or no spanking, I tear my apron to help a sick dog.
It's easy to talk of tearing aprons when you don't wear any.
Shame on you. What are you doing?
Arn untucks his shirt and tears off a strip, which he hands to the older girl.
Here, Thea, make him well.
There. We'll take care of you. We'll hide you from the Germans in our cave.
Oh, Arn, make a splint. You know the way I showed you when I broke my finger.
Arn picks a stick up and breaks it in half. Hedda arrives with a sandwich.
Here's what's left of my lunch.
Oh, that's a good girl, Hedda.
Oh, look, he's awfully hungry.
He probably hasn't eaten in a long time.
I have no more.
We can all save our supper and then we can feed him tomorrow.
I won't get any supper because I tore my shirt. But I've got a dog.
He's my dog.
He belongs to all of us.
I found him.
Well, then you could name him. What are you going to call him?
Let me see.
Little Henrik bites on his mitten.
I know.
Yes?
No.
Well, it's getting late. Why not call him Simply Doggy?
What name did you say?
She didn't. She said to call him Simply Doggy.
I like that. We'll call him Mr. Simply.
Oh, hello, Mr. Simply.
Later at the shore, the children collect handfuls of water from the lake and carry them to Laddie. The collie lies under a crude wooden shelter shaped like a pup tent. He laps from their wet hands eagerly, then rests his head on the ground.
Mr. Simpson's going to sleep.
We'll come back early tomorrow. Come on.
As Hedda and Arn follow Thea away, Henrik leans down and kisses Laddie's head.
Happy dreams, Mr. Simpson.
Henrik leaves. Nighttime. Outside a church, a wooden door swings open, and a priest walks out with the two Nazi soldiers.
I don't think you will find the poor dog in this village. He wouldn't stop here. No refuse bins.
Why not?
Because there is no refuse. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Strong.
A woman passes on a horse-drawn onion cart.
Don't hurry on. It's all right to come in. A very devout woman, Mrs. Strong. You may have noticed her coming here in the evening to pray. I shall try to find who our dog fancier is among my congregation. Perhaps they will help.
The soldiers scrutinize Mrs. Strom as they leave. She looks down.
Of course, when you consider the only true dog fancier in the world is the flea.
Behind his back, the priest waves at Mrs. Strom. Joe drops out from under the onion cart. He moves to the church's front door, takes a quick look around, then dashes inside. Nearby, the priest keeps an eye on the soldiers as they walk down the cobblestone street. Daytime. A reflection in a lake mirrors the white-capped mountain peak behind it. Hedda, Thea, and Arn roll their pushcart full of logs along the lake shore. Behind them, Henrik pulls along a reluctant Laddie with a rope leash.
Come on, Henrik. Hurry up with that dog. Come on.
Please, Mr. Simply, come.
Laddie circles him.
Stop it, Mr. Simply. Stop it. Please, Mr. Simply, come. I've got something nice for you to eat.
Arn approaches the boy.
Wait a minute. Henrik, what are you doing?
Eat, Mr. Simply.
It's no use. He won't eat. He's been like this ever since he got well.
Eat, Mr. Simply. Please eat. If you eat, you'll grow up to be a big, strong man.
Stop now. You're only bothering him. Besides, dogs don't grow up to be big, strong men.
Not even if they eat.
Not even if they drink milk.
Not even if they drink all the milk in the world.
Not even then.
Oh, well.
Henrik bites into the treat.
Maybe he doesn't like us anymore.
That's the way he looked when he was hurt. Maybe he doesn't want to be our dog.
Henrik kneels in front of Laddie.
Don't you want to be our dog?
They turn and see a squadron of Nazis walking along the lakeshore. One pokes his rifle into a pile of driftwood.
Germans! Come on, cover up the dog!
They quickly pull Laddie away. Downshore, Carl's partner pokes the butt of his rifle into another wood pile, then walks along the water to a hollow tree trunk. He examines it as he steps over. Meanwhile, Henrik sits on top of the logs in the pushcart, and the others roll him up a hill. The soldiers emerge from some pine trees nearby and search the ground. Carl's partner stops and holds out his hand to the others. As the children arrive with the pushcart, they stop and salute.
Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler!
The youngsters move on.
Did you hear what they said? Very suspicious.
That's the first time I've heard that from Norwegians. They're up to something.
Come here!
Carl and his partner chase down the children.
Have you seen a dog?
Stand still! Have you seen a dog?
Well?
Have we seen a dog?
A dog? No dog here.
What have you got here?
Wood. We've been gathering firewood.
Henrik barks.
What's the matter with him?
He thinks he's a dog. He's very young. You know, playing. He always plays that game. He barks like this. No, he barks like this.
Stupid people, barking children. Come on.
Carl and his partner walk off as the children push their cart down a hill toward the lake. Carl's partner glances back at them as the Nazis head in the opposite direction along the shore. The children roll the push cart across the sand. It hits a log and topples. Laddie hops out and dashes back up the hill. Henrik and the others chase after him. Laddie reaches a flat clearing and leaps over a fallen tree branch on his way into a pine forest. The children follow, lagging behind. The kids stop and scan the area. Elsewhere, Laddie races to a hill scattered with boulders. Back at the clearing, Henrik drops to his knees as Arne jumps over the fallen tree branch. The older boy takes a look around, then turns back. Tears stream down Henrik's face, and he folds his hands together. The others stand motionless, watching.
I found him, and I love him, and I don't want to lose him. Bring Mr. Simply back. Please, God, bring him back.
Meanwhile, Laddie returns to the boulder where Joe hid his head. Laddie sniffs around, then runs off with his nose to the ground. Later, he arrives at a fenced cabbage patch in front of a log barn and farmhouse. Grassy sod covers the roofs of both buildings. In the cabbage patch, Laddie steps between the leafy green plants and digs into the dirt with his paws. Laddie's white legs pump furiously as he digs through the loose soil. He reaches a fabric knot buried in the dirt. Laddie bites onto it and pulls it from the ground. It's Joe's parachute. Laddie runs his nose along the length of the tattered chute, then dashes through the fence at the perimeter of the cabbage patch. Laddie runs to the barn. He stops at a timbered archway and sniffs the ground. Inside, Laddie walks to a barrel and sniffs. Picking up a scent, he leaps from a nearby bale of hay to a loft. The collie paces around a large haystack, then buries his nose in it. His feet sink in the thick hay as he trudges through, then leaps back to the ground. Outside, Mrs. Strom rides past the barn on her onion cart. Laddie watches from the entrance as she passes, then he tears after her. Later in the village, Mrs. Strom rides the cart down a cobblestone street. Laddie walks along underneath, cloaked by its shade. They pass a group of Nazi soldiers filling a car with metal valuables from a store. Carl and his partner stand guard near the storefront.
Look!
They spot Laddie. Carl and his partner run out into the street, blocking the onion cart's path.
Halt!
Mrs. Strom nervously tugs at her horse's reins, stopping the cart.
Where did you get this dog? He's English.
Mrs. Strom looks.
It's not my dog. I never saw him before.
Lanty darts away from the cart.
You were here yesterday.
Why are you here again?
I come here every day.
What about your dog?
It isn't my dog. Look, if it were, it wouldn't run away from me.
Lanty dashes along the road's gutter.
You wait here.
Carl and his partner pursue him up the street. Up ahead, Laddie sniffs along the ground, turns into an alleyway, and follows a shadowy stone path to the back of a building. He scratches at a wooden door. Laddie moves away from the door and stands with his front paws on a stone windowsill. Beyond the fractured window frame, the priest kneels at an altar in a heavily damaged church sanctuary.
Heavenly Father, who hearest us always, grant these children their prayer for the safety of their dog.
The four children kneel behind him at a communion rail.
These children are educating their hearts in unselfishness. Preserve their pure hearts. These children are not asking anything for themselves. They ask only for the safety of a poor animal.
Laddie enters the church.
This love that fills their hearts is your love, which I ask shall...
Laddie sets his head on the communion rail between Hedda and Henrik.
...them in your...
Mr. Simply! It's a miracle!
Hier hinein. Vielleicht ist in die Kirche gelaufen.
Wir können ja mal durchsuchen.
The two Nazi soldiers enter the church. As Carl begins to remove his hat, his partner eyes him. Carl quickly puts it back on.
Keep these children as they are now from selfishness.
The soldiers approach the altar. Laddie is gone.
The cruelty of the world.
The Nazis head back
we
down the aisle.
We ask always that everything that breathes be preserved from suffering.
Laddie emerges from under the priest's black robe and runs to a closed door. The soldiers turn and spot him. The Nazis rush toward the altar. They reach the door where Laddie stands, then face the priest.
What's in here?
A storeroom.
The soldier jiggles the knob.
Why is it locked?
To keep out thieves.
As the soldier throws his weight against the door, Joe wakes up inside the storeroom. He dashes across the cluttered room, his gaze darting over his shoulder. As the Nazis in the sanctuary ram the butts of their rifles against the door, Joe opens a window and leaps out. He runs toward the street, where Mrs. Strom still waits in her onion cart. As a military car passes, he takes cover. In the church, the soldiers break through the door. Outside, Joe crawls up under the onion cart, which then rolls along on its large spoked wheels. Now the Nazis enter the storeroom. Laddie dashes in ahead of them and bounds through the open window. The soldiers follow. Laddie races down the sunny street. The dog glimpses the cart as it disappears around a corner. The soldiers look up. Townspeople and soldiers run for cover. On the onion cart, Mrs. Strom snaps the reins. Laddie chases after her, weaving among frantic civilians. As one man abandons his bicycle in the road, Laddie dodges past soldiers on motorcycles. Explosions bombard the quaint town. Mrs. Strom struggles with the reins to control the horse and cart. As buildings burst into fragments, Laddie follows the cart through the smoke. On a debris-strewn street, the onion cart hits a mound of dirt and capsizes, throwing the woman off and turning the hitched horse upside down. As another bomb sends a column of fire into the sky, Laddie rounds a corner, and the wreckage of a building hails down upon him. Fires burn throughout the ruins of the village. Now Laddie lies motionless under splintered boards. His head rests against the cement stoop of a building. A dusting of new-fallen snow blankets the ground and debris. As Laddie's body heaves with each breath, his eyes open. He lifts his head, looks around, and wearily licks his chops. Slowly, he stands and walks from the rubble. He crosses the snow-covered street to a bombshell crater where a fallen man lies motionless. Moving on, Laddie trots to the overturned onion cart. The collie sniffs the ground, then hops up onto the snow-dusted undercarriage. Laddie peers into the cart's open trap door. He leaps down off the cart. Laddie picks his way over more pieces of broken wood, then quickens his pace, following footprints in the snow. The footprints lead up a mountain slope where patches of dark rock peek through expansive snowdrifts. The determined collie keeps his nose to the ground as he hikes the bleak and rugged terrain. His form grows distant and small as he follows the trail of footprints. Laddie climbs farther up the mountain's incline, his head lowered. He stops, lifts his head alertly, then walks a few yards. He stops again to look around. His path follows alongside a deep crevice with steep wind-carved walls. Laddie's soft paws fall lightly on the snow as he continues his ascent. Panting, he reaches a crest and follows down the opposite side, coming to a shallow gully. He finds footing on the slippery downgrade and descends to its icy bottom. Laddie comes to a standstill. He glances left and right, then climbs from the gully with a series of short jumps. Laddie picks up the scent again and plods on with his head lowered in weary determination. Farther ahead, the snow is flecked with dirt and gravel. Laddie hops over a slender gap in the frozen surface and makes his way down smooth chunks of glacier. At the foot of the pale bluish formations, Laddie steps across a patch of mud. Slipping and sliding a little, Laddie struggles up a mound of icy snow to a more level area. At twilight, Laddie presses on between two rims of a wide, frozen canyon. Now, sunlight shines on a sod-roofed cabin overlooking a lake. A robust man in a gray coat comes out.
Come here, Joe.
Joe follows him out.
This is a fine morning.
Yes, it is.
Wearing a red sweater and tan trousers, Joe pulls on a tobogganing cap.
I'm sorry to leave you and your wonderful stories about the Vikings.
Oh, I'm a great liar, Joe. One thing I told you is the truth. One Viking alone can smash a platoon of Germans just by standing on them with his 2 feet.
I believe it all.
I didn't have to stay up here and hide you, boys. I will go down and jump on that German army myself just to show you how it's done.
Olaf gives Joe a friendly slap on the back. The two men each shoulder a pair of skis and grab some poles. Olaf leads the way down the hill. Behind them, the white-capped mountains reflect in the calm blue water of the lake below. Joe follows as Olaf strides along a path lined with spring flowers and sapling pines. Olaf glances over his shoulder.
You are a good soldier, too. I know that, because you are a good companion.
I'm afraid I've been talking mostly about my dog. I know it's my duty to get back to England, into the fight again. But it's not easy to go and leave Laddie behind. I keep thinking about finding him. Sometimes I even wake up at night and think I can hear him barking. After what you and your friends have faced, I suppose I sound rather silly.
No, you're not silly. It isn't silly to have something dear to your heart and to talk about it. A man who lives for himself is very empty. The others, they talk about their girls, their wives and children. You talk about your dog. You love him.
Joe sadly stares ahead as they come to a snowy mountaintop.
Now remember, hide by day and travel by night. And don't try to contact the underground, they'll find you. Operator MCS will take you down to the coast. If you get to the high cliff, you can see Anton's house and his fishing boat. Anton will contact the British intelligence.
Olaf puts his hand on Joe's shoulder.
And another soldier goes home to fight.
Goodbye, Olaf.
They shake hands.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
The two men nod to each other. Olaf watches as Joe continues alone down the slope of the mountain. His skis and poles leaned flat on his shoulders, crisscrossed behind him. Olaf takes out a stocking cap and puts it on. Pulling it snug, the Norwegian takes his skis and poles in hand and heads back in the opposite direction. atop a snowy slope, Olaf puts on his skis and pushes off. With his knapsack on his back, he slaloms quickly and skillfully down the mountainside, avoiding the rocks and boulders jutting from the snow. Hunching forward, he gains speed as he cruises down the broad, graceful incline of snow. He lifts his weight to leap a crevice. His course flattens, then leads to another steep descent, where he deftly leans left, then right, repeatedly. He carves downhill, using his poles for balance. Again, the terrain flattens, then changes to another steep hill. Now, Olaf skis on a diagonal, crossing a gleaming sunny slope. He glides alongside a crevice, then turns and crosses it. He swerves sharply to a stop. Peering into the narrow gap, Olaf plants his poles into the snow. Laddie looks up at him with sorrowful eyes. Olaf removes his skis and steps into the ditch. He touches the huddling dog's wet fur, then takes off his knapsack. Later, he skis along, holding Laddie wrapped in a blanket. Later still, Olaf carries the frail collie into his cabin. Placing Laddie on the floor near the fireplace, he grabs the poker and turns the coals. He swings a hanging cauldron over the embers and tosses on more firewood. Laddie lies still beside the hearth. Dripping wet, the collie watches with his sparkling brown eyes. Olaf removes his coat and cap. He briskly rubs the dog's fur with the blanket, then dries between Laddie's two front legs. Olaf holds a hand to Laddie's ribcage. Quickly, the man gets to his feet and grabs a bowl and spoon from a wood table. He rushes to the fireplace and fills the bowl with brown soup from the cauldron. Laddie stirs on the floor. Olaf returns to his side with a bowl of broth.
Well,
he lifts Laddie's head.
So you are Laddie, huh?
He cradles the dog close to him.
I've heard a lot about you. But I never thought I was going to see you.
He spoon-feeds Laddie the broth.
You are a long way from the Duke's Hadrianus now, aren't you? Well, you'll go back to England and dig up those Hadrianus again. And the Duke will be so glad to see you that he will grow some new ones just for you.
Olaf's eyes dart to a shelf where a mantel clock reads 4. Gently lowering Laddie's head, Olaf goes to a short staircase leading to his bed loft. He removes the wood paneled side, revealing a radio. Olaf turns a knob on the device.
MCS calling number 44. MCS calling number 44. Dangerous enemy activity along coast. Cannot pass anyone now. Flyer returning to you until further notice from us.
As Olaf reaches to turn off the radio, Laddie looks at him.
You're going to see him again. He's coming back here. Oh, this is a wonderful day.
Olaf sits with Laddie.
This is a reunion arranged by the gods. And only they and I shall see it.
Laddie rests his head in Olaf's lap.
You know, it should be Christmas. We should have an evergreen tree over in that corner. And you should be under it. I should have a big fat belly and a long white beard.
Laddie sits up and licks Olaf's face.
I believe you already know that he's coming, huh?
Olaf kisses Laddie's cheek. Meanwhile, Joe skis down a mountain slope. Unseen, two Nazi soldiers hiding in one of the mountain's crevices watch him pass. The soldiers stand, exchange a look, then hurry off. Now, in his cabin, Olaf brings his dinner to the table. Laddie watches him, then quickly turns and stares toward the window. As Olaf cuts bread and cheese, Laddie climbs up on some firewood and peers out the window. On the brilliant blue lake below, a motorboat carrying two men draws near. The boat slows and its wake lessens.
What? Is he here already?
Olaf goes to the window. Looking out, he sees the two Nazi soldiers looking up at the cabin.
Be quiet. Those are men of pain, torture, and killing.
Shame to tell a good animal that this is what men have come to. Maybe they will pass us by, and maybe they won't.
He hides Laddie.
Be quiet.
Locking him in a storage alcove, Olaf gathers up the blanket. Outside, the two soldiers climb the steps and enter the cabin. Olav greets them, striding over nonchalantly. He takes his pipe out of his pocket.
Good day. That's the cold one.
The soldiers eye Olav in his cabin.
I'll stir up the fire.
Olav pokes the coals.
Are you Olav Griba?
Yes. You live here alone? Unfortunately, the women I would like to marry won't live up here. And the women who would live up here, I wouldn't like to marry.
The soldiers glance at the single plate on the table.
You have a radio?
No. That's forbidden, isn't it?
Carrying a rifle, one soldier climbs the stairs and checks Olav's bedding in the loft.
There's no one here. You're wasting your time on good shoe leather.
The soldier taps the side of the recessed bed with the butt of his rifle. In the storage alcove, Laddie perks to attention. Now the soldier bangs the rifle butt on the short staircase leading to the bed loft. Watching nervously, Olav draws on his pipe. The soldier slams the rifle harder. The soldier breaks through the wooden step and knocks away the side piece, exposing the radio. The other soldier draws his pistol.
Watch out.
He nods Olav toward the door.
Where are you taking me?
The prison camp.
As Laddie paws the door of the alcove, Olav steps outside, grabs his keys, and starts to put them inside. The soldiers stop him.
Now come with us. You won't need your cabin.
Olav sets down the skis.
Besides, there's no one in there. That's the truth, isn't it? Yes, that's the truth. No British soldiers. Oh, why do you ask me that?
Because we have caught one. And he came from this mountain.
The soldier with the rifle pulls out a grenade.
Your huts won't shelter anyone British.
Olav lunges at him.
No, wait!
The other German hits him with his pistol. Olav falls and the enemy soldier aims his gun. Olav clasps his forehead. In the locked alcove, Laddie claws at the door. Outside, the soldier with the grenade pulls the pin and tosses it inside. Smoke and fire blast out the roof. Inside, beams and dirt collapse in front of the door to the storage alcove. Outside, smoke wafts from the sod roof. The German soldiers glance inside, then head off toward their boat. Beneath the smoldering debris, Laddie pokes his head out from within a pile of splintered boards. Stones from the fireplace lie shattered among the blasted wood. Laddie gnaws at a piece and tries to push aside several planks with his head. Poking his snout from within the pile, Laddie moves some of the fallen debris. He reaches out with his forepaws and scrapes the smoking stones with his claws. Laddie looks around, withdraws out of sight, then springs forward again. Pushing his head out from the pile, he struggles to free himself over and over. His paws grapple with the debris, but barely move it. Laddie withdraws into the shadowy pile again. On the sixth attempt, the sooty dog wrenches himself free. Weakened, he inches toward the door, favoring his hind legs. Laddie crawls, taking small, tentative steps. The cabin's doorframe still stands. Outside, he delicately steps across the entry's log threshold, then drops his weight to the sunny porch. He scrapes his way to the edge and carefully jumps off its stone foundation. On the rocks and grass in front of the cabin, he limps to Olav's body. Resting his head on Olav's brown wool sweater, Laddie shifts anxiously. He pushes himself closer to Olav, then gets himself to his feet. Stepping gingerly along the stony path away from the cabin, Laddie makes his way down the mountain. Later, he plods the grassy brush near the edge of the lake. Sniffing the ground, he heads away from the water and the towering mountains that are reflected on its glassy surface. Laddie follows a narrow path where the grass is beaten down. His pace quickens as he scampers across the brambly summit of a hill. He heads toward an expansive forested valley. Later, a tall barbed wire fence blocks his path. On a watchtower, a sentry stands guard while men mill about inside the compound. Laddie goes to the fence and paws at the ground beneath the wire. He tries to wiggle between two taut lines. Now a soldier in a drab jumpsuit approaches.
The first I've seen in old years. Hello, boy.
Hello, General.
He leans his front paws on the fence.
He understands.
I believe it's the British, huh?
What to know? Better hang around here, then.
Buzz off. Go on, up it, or we'll be finding you in a stew.
A pilot leads a blind corporal to him.
It's a collie. He's a beauty.
Oh, let me touch him.
He reaches through the fence.
Hello, boy. Hello, then.
Laddie licks his hand, and the corporal smiles.
Yes, it's good to meet you, too.
Move back for the fence! Simply!
Let him in, won't you?
He's going to shoot him.
No!
Lower your gun!
A chubby Nazi sergeant scolds the sentry. Holding a German shepherd on a leash, the sergeant approaches Laddie. The German shepherd bares his teeth.
Ruhig. It's Sergeant Schmidt. Couldn't we have him in, Sergeant? He'd be no trouble, I promise. I could teach him to lead me, and then I could work him with some use like the others.
Schmidt drops his eyes from the corporal to the frantically digging collie.
Let the dog enter.
A guard opens a gateway to the compound, and Laddie rushes inside to the prisoners. Schmidt and his dog follow.
Sweetheart. Hello,
he's a beauty.
Hello,
look, he's got a collar. War dogs.
War dog?
What is he doing over here?
You're a long way from home, son.
Yeah, that dog needs water and food.
Schmidt brings a leash.
Let him lead you, prisoner.
Thanks, Sergeant. That's decent of you. I'll take him to the washroom and give him a drink of water. And at mess, he can share my rations. Come on, sir.
The corporal takes the leash and follows where Laddie leads him. Sniffing the ground, Laddie takes him to the door of a wooden building. Inside, the corporal bumps into a crate in front of a rustic counter. Wooden pegs are evenly spaced along the walls. Laddie climbs onto a table and paws one of the pegs.
Clever fellow. How did you know it was my clothes peg?
A name is carved beside each peg.
This isn't mine.
He fingers the letters.
I wonder who's...
Kara Clough.
Schmidt takes Laddie's leash.
Go to your quarters.
But, Sergeant, you promised me I should have it.
Go!
As the corporal leaves, Schmidt looks from Joe's name to Laddie.
You stay here.
His German shepherd guards the door.
Lass ihn nicht raus.
As Schmidt leaves, Laddie and the shepherd watch each other. Laddie turns on the tabletop. Laddie hops down from the table and the shepherd attacks him. Fighting, they move under the counter near the crate. Schmidt and another officer enter. The shepherd strides out between them. Laddie lies on the floor.
You see, sir, it's an English collie. And he came direct to that escaped prisoner's towel.
You think that poor-looking animal can follow the escaped prisoner's scent when your own trained dogs couldn't?
Well, my dogs couldn't because the scent was overlapped by so many others. But this dog knows only his master in this country. You can see by his condition what he has been through and following him. He'll follow his single trail, no matter how many others have crossed it.
Blow your tone, Sergeant. Any moment I expect you to bark like a dog.
Yes, sir.
As a soldier, Schmidt, you're a comedian. You're not a man. You're a clown. And asking me for orders to trot all over Norway with this bag of bones here to pursue a prisoner is the culmination of your dog obsession.
The officer glances down, and Schmidt turns to follow his gaze. Laddie gets to his feet and sniffs the crate. The collie then follows a path between the German's boots toward rows of bunk beds in an adjacent room.
He's following the scent, you see?
Quiet. Don't bark.
The officer folds his arms.
Proceed, comedian. It will be pleasant not to have my eyes revolted by that gargoyle shape in the uniform of our great army.
Schmidt clicks his heels, marches over to Laddie, and takes hold of his collar.
Yes, you're a good dog, a fine dog. Here, here, there's nothing to be afraid of. Be friends, good friends, yeah? No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Schmidt watches as Laddie hops to an upper bunk and sniffs the blanket. The dog then turns to the window and paws frantically at its sill. Schmidt pushes open the window.
Yeah, that's where he went out. Come on.
He takes Laddie's leash.
Come on, we go out too.
Laddie jumps to the floor. Schmidt hesitates on his way out, cringing under the glare of his superior officer. Now, on a small dock, a man and woman bring Joe to a fishing boat.
Olaf certainly didn't exaggerate how kind you'd be to me. I can't thank you enough. Joanna, Anton?
Oh, when you are safe in England, send us a message through the underground. That will be enough. And when the war is over, we meet again, eh?
And you must come to England and meet my father. Both of you.
He will not make us sleep in the cellar, eh?
Nothing but the best bedroom.
So young. Take care of yourself. You are still not strong. It will not be easy for you to manage the boat all on your own, even though it is only a little one.
Anything bigger would be hard to hide from them. But with luck, you should make it. You know, you are very lucky the British intelligence contacted the supplement. But you must be sure
I'll be there at midnight. Don't worry.
Joe looks toward shore.
Look.
A German platoon waits on the hillside. An officer approaches.
Careful. No panic. You know what to do and say.
The German faces Anton.
You. Your papers.
Anton reaches into his pea coat and hands over a billfold. The soldier scrutinizes a stamped document inside it and gives Anton a look. Handing the billfold back, the soldier turns to Joe.
Yours.
Joe gapes and squints at him.
Sorry, he's not very...
Your papers!
Anton reaches inside Joe's jacket, retrieves a billfold, and hands it to the officer. The officer studies a document from it, looks from Joe to Anton, then hands the billfold back to Anton. He watches Anton return the billfold to Joe.
Come, both of you.
Where to?
You will see.
But we're just setting out for work. We are fishermen. You saw our permits.
My husband is the only man in the district with a permit to fish. If he does not go out, we shall all starve.
Too bad.
But the tide is high now.
It'll be high again tonight and tomorrow. Come.
Don't worry. We will be all right. He will be back tonight. Won't we, Peter, old man?
Slack-jawed and staggering, Joe lets Anton steer him forward. Joanna watches them go with a worried frown. Later, the German officer leads a line of men, headed by Anton and Joe, up a rocky hill. Other civilians carry heavy sandbags on their shoulders. As the group trudges past, the officer slaps the shoulder of the last worker and speeds him along. The officer leads Joe's group down onto a concrete platform with a rotating cannon set into it. Keeping his eye on his gang of civilians, the officer leads the men across to an expansive worksite where armed guards oversee men piling sandbags and digging trenches. With two soldiers bringing up the rear of Joe's and Anton's group, the officer leads them along one of many lengthy ditches filled with men using shovels and picks. The officer surveys the area and the dozens of weary laborers. Joe and Anton stop and trade a scowl. One of the guards shoves them onward. The officer stops by a pile of picks and shovels, turns to face the newcomers, and points to a ditch.
All right, get to work.
Anton, Joe, and the others grab up the tools and join the workers in the ditch. As the others begin to dig, Joe jams his shovel into the earth and leans toward Anton.
This is too much digging German fortifications.
Good practice for digging their graves. That won't be long now before the day of reckoning.
All right, get on the jaw.
As the men begin to dig, Joe glances up from his shovel and fixes a stare toward the embankment. Anton sees Joe's gaping smile.
What is it?
Look!
By the cannon at the edge of the worksite, Schmidt and Laddie confer with another officer.
It's Laddie. He's found me.
Keep digging. Whatever you do, you must not give yourself away.
But he's my dog.
When the dog comes close to you, you must kick him away from you. Beat him.
Stop talking. Look.
Joe looks toward Laddie. Anton grabs Joe's arm to get his attention, then shakes his head. Now Schmidt faces the officer by the cannon.
I'm sure he's somewhere in the camp. Probably posing as one of those workmen.
Say, sir, when you address me, soldier.
Sir.
And what do you expect me to do? Stop the work of the German army while you examine every man's papers?
That will not be necessary, sir. With your permission.
He removes Laddie's leash.
Find him. Find your master.
Laddie races down the hill.
Look, Collie. Come on.
Oh, that's a fine dog.
Come here, boy.
I wonder what he's doing here.
Dozens of workers reach out toward Laddie as the dog walks along the edge of a trench. Schmidt intently watches the line of men patting Laddie's head. The officer smiles.
Evidently, the dog is owned by a corporation.
Laddie's pace quickens along the line of friendly workers.
Everybody quiet! Get back to work!
As the dog approaches, Anton watches Laddie through the corner of his eye. Joe looks up from his shovel to see his dog coming closer. He frantically returns to his digging. Laddie freezes, perks up his head, and runs to his master. The dog jumps back and forth across the trench. As Laddie nuzzles his master and licks his ear, Joe ignores him. Anton shakes his head sternly. Joe suddenly lifts his arm as though to strike the dog, but Laddie doesn't flinch. Joe smiles, cradles Laddie's snout, and kisses him on the head. Anton reaches to draw Laddie toward him.
Here, boy.
Here, stop that.
As Anton steps back, Schmidt casts a satisfied smirk at Joe and Laddie.
So the dog has found his master.
That's right. You found me. I'm Joe Karakoff.
He grins at Schmidt's severe stare. Schmidt self-consciously glances at his uniform.
Come out of there!
Joe climbs out of the trench.
Walk ahead.
As Schmidt struts off with his prisoner, Laddie leaps playfully at Joe's side. Later, Schmidt marches Joe up a coastal foothill.
Where are you taking us?
Back to the prison from which you escaped? And let me warn you, any funny business and I won't hesitate to kill.
I'm sure you won't.
You may be very sure.
Schmidt pats the pistol butt in his unbuttoned holster. Joe reaches to the ground, grabs a stick, and tosses it for Laddie to fetch.
He can't even retrieve a stick. Your dog is a hopeless fool. And so are you.
With a bemused smile, Joe walks on.
Why didn't you kick him away from you? If you could have kicked him, I would have believed you weren't the man I wanted. That commanding officer thought I needed a guard to help me. I alone found you. And I alone will take you in. The High Command may even hear of this exploit. Turn around!
Joe stops and turns.
I ought to make you walk the rest of the way backward. Then you would pay attention to what I have to say.
And if I don't?
You are not wearing your uniform. I can shoot you as a spy. Or for any reason that I choose.
Schmidt slides his pistol from its holster.
Now turn around! And march! I'm in command here. What I say is so. You are not a soldier, you are a comedian. You are not a man, you are a clown.
You may be right. A clown is all that you could capture.
You think because you wouldn't hit the dog, you're a better man?
I know I am.
We shall see.
He draws his gun.
There are many ways in this world to judge the better man. But I know only one way. The better man is the man who lives.
Laddie attacks Schmidt, knocking him over. As Joe wrestles him, the sergeant fires randomly in the air. At the worksite, the Nazis turn their heads. The officer that brought Anton and Joe from the boat runs up the hill. In the clearing, Joe pounds the pistol against Schmidt's head, then rolls the sergeant over a ledge toward the lake. Joe gets to his feet. He and Laddie run as a hand cranks a bell-shaped siren mounted to a wooden post. Carrying Schmidt's pistol, Joe runs alongside Laddie through a sprawling field of wildflowers. Joe heads toward the nearby pine forests. Splashing through a boggy stretch along the shore, Joe glances back over his shoulder. The man and his dog cross a dirt road and sprint toward the woodland mountains. Reaching the summit of a hill, Joe looks down at the mountain road. He quickly scurries behind a rock, pulls Laddie down under it, and pokes his head up for a look. Four motorcycles speed along the road, leading a transport truck. As the motorcade passes, Joe stands, gun in hand, and runs farther uphill. Three soldiers climb up after him. Joe and Laddie take shelter behind a boulder. As the three soldiers continue their pursuit, Joe aims the pistol. One soldier falls. As Joe and Laddie flee, an officer aims his gun. The German's shot misses. Joe drops the pistol. He and Laddie run and come to a cliff where they take shelter behind a boulder as big as a truck. As the two Germans follow, one points his partner toward the left end of the boulder. The other races toward the right end. As the soldier going right rushes over with his pistol drawn, Joe appears on top of the boulder and tackles the Nazi. Laddie moves in and bites onto the soldier's pant leg. Joe clubs the man's head. Now, looking downhill, Joe sees dozens of Nazis advancing along the road. As he holds Laddie quiet behind some rocks, more come pouring over a nearby ridge. Waiting until the soldiers dip below his line of sight, he jumps to his feet. He urges Laddie over some rocks and down toward a mountain river. They run alongside the moving water. They come to a long wooden footbridge spanning two cliffs. Joe begins to dart across it. He stops suddenly, climbs up on the guardrail, and peers down at the river. The rolling current leads downstream to a wide stretch of moderate rapids and a 30-foot waterfall beyond. As Joe takes off his boots, Laddie stands guard. Soldiers with rifles run toward the bridge.
Come on, Laddie.
Laddie turns.
Come on, boy.
Joe catches Laddie in his arms and steps through the guardrail on the downstream side of the bridge. He glances at the water, then at the approaching soldiers. Holding on to Laddie, Joe jumps and drops 30 feet to the water below. They surface and swim against the current toward the shore. As the soldiers descend, Joe treads water under a shadowy rock overhang underneath the bridge. Joe still holds Laddie in his arms. As dozens of Nazis gather on the bridge, the sergeant from Joe and Anton's work detail finds Joe's discarded boots. They look down from the bridge, eyeing the turbulent waters and sheer cliffs. The sergeant points with his gun.
If he shouldn't live through those rapids, force the guard at the fisherman's house.
As the soldiers disperse, Joe holds Laddie and remains under the shadowy overhang. He treads water as the last few soldiers walk off, then starts to swim. Laddie gets away from him on his first stroke. Joe turns downstream after Laddie. As Laddie dog paddles away from shore, Joe swims after him. The current carries them both toward the rolling white waters of the rapids. As Laddie swims farther out into the river, he struggles harder against the current. Joe swims frantically some 10 yards behind, unable to catch up. Pulled toward the rocky waterfall, Joe keeps swimming and tries to cut across the current. Laddie's sleek head pokes above the water as he struggles too. Now Joe swims arm over arm and draws near to Laddie. He follows the dog, who paddles toward shore. Joe wraps one arm around Laddie, and together they turn to swim against the raging current. Laddie paddles in a united effort with Joe's free arm. The water about them churns up more and more air bubbles. The foam grows wider and wider, swirling with increasing energy. Exhausted, Joe stops paddling, but still holds on to Laddie. The young man gulps air and, gripping his dog, surrenders to the current. The water propels them between two boulders. Two ricochet from one boulder to another. Joe cushions the impacts with his free arm, all the while clinging to Laddie. The current carries them onward. Laddie's frantic dog paddles are useless against the force. Passing through another gap, Joe protects his dog from scraping against the rocks. Joe steadies their course behind one boulder, then slowly lets them be carried to the next. The current yanks them away, and Joe gropes, but misses a nearby handhold. The water thrusts them onward past rock after rock, and they spill over the waterfall itself. They tumble and slide helplessly down the falls. Joe clings to Laddie as they disappear and reappear in the foam. Engulfed by the crashing water, they slide past a fallen tree, then emerge in the calmer expanse of the lake below. Together, they swim across the blue water, Joe's arm still wrapped around Laddie. The shore lies yards away, but the current is gentler. Joe gives one overhand stroke after another toward the shore. Now, near Anton's fishing dock, a truck with seven soldiers stops at the gate. One soldier gets out and heads down the hill toward the fisherman's house. Elsewhere, in view of Anton's home, Joe and Laddie fight their way to the rocky shore. Laddie climbs out, his coat clinging heavily to his slender frame. Joe gapes toward Anton's house. As Joanna mends a net, the newly arrived soldier marches with his rifle to an overturned rowboat and sits on it. On the rocks, Joe takes off his jacket and drapes it over Laddie. Joanna turns from tying the strings of netting and peers toward the splashing on the shore. Later, at night, Joe and Laddie wait on the rocky shore and watch the house intently. Joe rubs his fingers along Laddie's stringy coat and presses his lips to the dog's head. A light goes on in a window of Anton's house. Joe perks up.
All right, Laddie. In we go.
Laddie stands and eases into the lake. Joe, wearing his striped t-shirt, jumps in behind him. They swim across the dark water to Anton's dock. Reaching it, Joe helps Laddie up onto a floating platform. He remains in the water, hanging onto its side. Meanwhile, on a side porch, the guard marches to a door beside the lit window. Joanna opens the door.
Lights are forbidden.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
What's that?
As the guard turns, Joe and Laddie duck.
It is nothing but the tide.
As the guard peers out at the lake, Joanna glances down.
Do you have to stand guard here all night?
Sort of.
The guard grips his rifle.
Come in. I give you some food.
Joanna stands aside in the doorway. The guard looks at her, then enters. Joanna glances carefully down at the lake, then closes the door behind her. Joe watches the closed door as he stands and hurries Laddie into the boat. He unties its mooring in the dark, then pushes off and jumps in. Now, under a cloudy blue sky, a leafless tree with twisted branches stands atop a hill. Priscilla hikes into view, wearing a red dress. She carries a rugged walking stick in her hands. Surveying the valley with wistful, searching eyes, she turns and does a slight double take. Sam Karaklov, wearing his uniform, sits with Lassie on a stone wall. Sam gazes off, puffing on his pipe.
Good morning, Mr. Karaklov.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, no, please.
She joins him, sitting on the wall.
So you come here, too?
Hey, it's a champion thing to do. Sitting here, looking out across the moors.
She nods.
Joe always felt that, too.
Hey, if I wanted to find him, 'tis here I'd look.
They lift their eyes. A dozen fighter planes fly in tight formation.
Some of our lads coming home?
Priscilla nods as she sadly fidgets with her walking stick. Lassie lifts her head. Priscilla looks out hopefully, then turns to the collie.
There's nothing to bark at, Lassie.
I'd not be too sure, miss. Things speak to her that don't speak to us. Her ABCs are the stars, the wind, and the rain, and the scent, and all things that move with them. If those were our ABCs, then we'd know what she knows.
Sam follows Lassie's gaze. Priscilla also peers out across the rocky grassland. Sam and Priscilla eye the moors intently. In the distance, a man and dog appear. The two travelers approach a road dividing the landscape. Far behind them, dark mountains sit low under a gleaming blue sky filled with billowy clouds. On the stone wall, Priscilla and Sam trade a smile. Priscilla eagerly gets to her feet. As Joe passes through a gap in an overgrown fence, Priscilla beams. Her eyes twinkle, and a breeze rustles her short, wavy hair. Quickly, she runs to meet Joe. As the young man and woman race toward each other, Sam points the reunion out to Lassie. Joe waves. As he sprints in his Royal Air Force uniform, Laddie follows at his heels. Priscilla continues down the path to meet him. Joe removes his cap and they unite in a tight embrace. At their feet, Laddie looks up to the stone wall, where Sam waits with Lassie.
Come on, lad. Come on, Laddie.
Laddie rushes up.
Come on.
The two dogs nuzzle each other.
Ah, yes, there.
Laddie and Lassie snuggle up to Sam.
There, there. Ah, yes, there. Hey, lass. Our lads have come home. There, there. Ah, yes, there.
Against the moors, words appear. The end.